So your home didn't sell the first time. Are you fed up? It's time to make a change. Hire the Selling with CC team to get your home sold. We like houses to sell, not sit. To schedule an appointment, go to sellingwithcc.com.
Keller Williams, Jacksonville Realty.
Four-man front for the Jags. They blitz. Taylor's going to get hit. He's going to get sacked. Jacksonville rears its head, and they're going to get him inside the 40-yard line, back at the 38. 27-yard line. Taylor throws to the middle of the field. Ball's tipped, and it is. Is it picked off by the Jaguars? I believe it is. Let's see what they call it. It was tipped into the air. No signal yet. Jacksonville football. The Jags take it away. A tipped interception at the 35-yard line of the Buffalo Bills. Here we go. Cornette, the running back. Play fake. They want to throw it back in the end zone to Ben Poyak. Caught in the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. A play fake and a touchdown pass to Ben Poyak. A lot of man coverage across the way for Jacksonville. Will they blitz out of this? It is a blitz. Here they come. Taylor rolls to his left. He gets hit. He's going to get sacked. Miles Jack got him. He got his hand on his shoulder and then pulled him to the ground. Back in Bills territory. 33-32. Peterman drops the throw. Throws it out to the right side. It is knocked and picked off by Jalen Ramsey. He tipped it in the air. He made a diving interception. And it's the Jaguars football at midfield.
That is one of the most incredible athletic interceptions I have ever seen. And Jalen Ramsey, no surprise that he's the one that does it.
The clock ticks down. 20 seconds. They won't need to snap it again. Jacksonville has defeated the Buffalo Bills in the first round of the National Football League playoff.
Yeah, I don't care what people call it. I mean, we got a playoff win. So we're going to come in here, come to work for another week while, you know, other teams are sitting at home.
You know they're going to be poking holes in your offense this week.
Listen, we sticking together. I don't think nobody can come in between us on what we got going right now. It's Duval right now, man. DTWD, Duval till we die.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Good morning, Duval. That's right. Duval till we die, says Telvin Smith. You gotta love Telvin Smith and his enthusiasm, Tony. They're all together, he says. Offense, defense, special teams, coaches, does not matter. Hey, it's a team game, right? They win the football game. Wasn't always pretty, but it's a victory.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, listening to people react to this game and listening to the national media pundits, it's almost like you would, if you just watch the highlights, you'd almost think Buffalo won.
Right.
And Jacksonville lost with the way they're reacting to it. And look how bad the offense was, and they couldn't get anything done.
Who won?
You know, I'm listening to all that, and I go, I guess the Jaguars weren't allowed to bring their defense to the game, too.
Nah.
And they're not going to be allowed to bring it to Pittsburgh this week. Like, they're not allowed to bring the defense this week.
No.
So they got no chance
right.
against anybody else because those guys that are maybe the best in the league, they got to stay home because they can't bring them when they go up there. By the way, this is the yesterday was the second game this season where Blake Bortles wasn't able to throw for 100 yards. They're 2-0. When Blake doesn't throw for 100 yards. Now, the other time he didn't throw for 100, by the way, they only beat Pittsburgh 30-9.
Right.
I mean, the way they're talking about it is beyond ridiculous. Like Jalen said there, look, there's eight teams today getting ready for a playoff game, and yours is one of them. Let them say whatever the hell they want to say
exactly.
about your football team. They're getting ready to play another game, and there's 24 teams that are sitting at home wishing they could.
You know what you don't get over a decade basically of not making the playoffs, you don't get a lot of salty fans of the other team because you don't beat many teams, right?
No.
Oh, the Bills Mafia crying their bitter tears on social media and I'm sure elsewhere as they wake up today with displaced hips and what other injuries they get from jumping on flaming
right.
tables.
I was ready to turn a corner with the Bills fan base. Right, like I had heard horror stories about Bills fans every time they've ever come to visit Jackson. I'm like, well, the Andy Dalton thing was so cool. That they're donating all this money to his foundation, and it's like, all right, I can open my arms a little bit for a group that's going to do that kind of thing. And then you come to this city and act the way that the Bills Mafia did for the last couple of days, burning stuff after the game. No respect. I got
all.
No respect for the Buffalo Bills or the Bills Mafia. What a bunch of clowns.
And
get out of here.
It was hilarious this morning. It's ongoing, by the way. Some folks saying, hey, you guys sure get out of town quick just like he exited the stadium quick, nowhere to be found anymore. And one guy had the audacity to say, yeah, get out of town, because who would want to go to Jacksonville? Oh, yeah. Wait. You're right. You're right. What is it right now in Buffalo? I'm guessing like negative 26. I don't know. I don't care, quite frankly. Okay? Hope you enjoy your wings, because that's all you got to get you through the long, cold winter.
We can't get wings down here?
We can't.
That's a shame.
Right.
We can't play defense, can't bring the defense to playoff games, and can't get wings.
From now on, I'm just ordering wings, though. I'm not ordering Buffalo wings anymore. No more residuals for that city. Oh, my gosh. If you could live here, you would. All right? Trust me. We don't want you. We've got enough, and they're fantastic, and they showed up yesterday. What a scene. We have to feel it. You get to see it a little bit closer than I do because you're up in the press box mm-hmm. during the game. But you still get that kind of a soundproof barrier. It's not completely soundproof, but it's pretty close to it, right?
You know when it's loud.
You can tell when it's really loud, but typically it's not very noisy at all in the press box. You can't hear much at all.
No, and it was loud yesterday.
Oh, yeah, it was loud in this room yesterday, Tony.
It was really loud yesterday, which, again, was another reason for me to laugh at Bills fans. We're going to bring home field to Jets. You people are delusional.
Yeah, guy claimed on Twitter this morning, we lost despite home field. Okay, whatever makes your sad, pathetic lives that much better for the next 30 seconds.
You brought a bunch of Bills fans. You didn't bring a bunch of Bills fans. Because you were in Jacksonville. If the Bills had been playing in Kansas City this weekend, it would have been the same thing. They haven't been in a playoff game in 20 years.
Right.
They would have gone wherever they were going. They didn't take over anything. They weren't going to take over anything. Jacksonville was as loud as I've heard it in a long time yesterday. It was, as I tweeted out right before the game, when I got a chance to finally get upstairs and look at it for the first time, man, did Duval look good yesterday.
Oh, spectacular.
It was so much fun, and I'm glad that the team delivered a victory so that you could celebrate after what may have been the worst first half of playoff football I've ever seen. I mean, it was a miserable half of football to watch. It wound up 3-3, so right. It wasn't like the outcome was all that bad
sure. From
a Jaguar perspective, but just sitting there watching it aesthetically, it was rough. Neither team could do anything, mostly because Jacksonville's defense just completely outclasses what Buffalo could do offensively in that game, and Blake was having a horrid day. He couldn't throw the ball 5 yards, and I'm watching fans on Twitter that are like, y'all got to throw the ball downfield. You got to throw the ball down. He can't throw it 5. You want him to try throwing it 30? This is madness. Like, he can't do it right now. So what does he do? Finds a way. He just finds a way. He starts using his legs, and as soon as he started using his legs, the offense at least looked functional to some degree. They get 10-3. Once they got up a score, it's over.
Right. Buffalo's not scoring on them. Especially being a touchdown, right? Yeah. I mean, I give Buffalo credit. They had a nice 18-play drive that they put together. That's what it took to cobble it together.
With a 15-yard penalty.
Chip away.
And a bogus defensive
totally
holding call.
Totally get it.
Both of them.
And a bogus offsides call on top of it, which extended the drive by 3 more opportunities, none of which were effective in actually scoring points.
Nope.
Whatever. I'm just really reveling in this. I will say this about the downfield throw. I would have still taken some shots downfield. I understand your point. If he can't hit this one, well, the short and the intermediate stuff, those are the danger zone passes, because if they get picked, they might be going back the other way. I wouldn't have minded them max protecting once or twice and just taking a shot with Keelan Cole over the top, because if that ball gets picked, it's kind of like a punt. You know what I mean? And they just never looked to really drive the ball downfield at all. But you're right. I mean, in terms of being off the mark, that was maybe as bad as I've ever seen Blake in a game.
It was hard to watch.
I mean, we've seen some practices that have been pretty ridiculous at times, but he's always seemed to have a little bit better on game day. If you would have told us in the month of December, in the beginning of the month, the way he was playing, that he was capable of putting one of these performances up, I would have questioned it. But certainly, Blake, some people will give him a game ball today, and I understand it, because he said, you know what, I don't have it. I just do not have it. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take one quick look at my first read, and unless it's wide open right there, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm tucking and I'm taking off, and he manned up, Tony. He was not he slid once or twice when the occasion called for it after like a 30-yard run in the first half in the two-minute drill.
Yeah.
But he was diving head first. He was bumping guys. And look,
taking that extra shot going out of bounds.
Not saying that that's the long-term best way to approach things. This is the playoffs, and you're trying to win on this day. And
they needed it to win yesterday.
They had to have it to generate any offense yesterday.
So they got it. And look, I'm with you. Like, I wish the game plan had been more aggressive early. I think that after you don't come out aggressive, it was clear that the Jags were willing to bet that the Bills can't score on us. That's basically what their game plan was yesterday.
Right.
The Bills can't score, so we're not going to risk much offensively because they can't do anything against us. We just don't believe it. And they were right, by the way. Their gamble was right. Buffalo can't do anything against you. Buffalo can't score. If they were playing today, I'm still not convinced. If they had played all night long...
Right, if the Jags hadn't scored the touchdown.
Right, I'm still not convinced that Buffalo ever would have put the ball in the end zone if they had just continued playing that game. So their gamble was right from that perspective. We would have liked to see him be aggressive early because maybe you get that up that touchdown early and you get an avalanche mode. You never got to go into avalanche mode yesterday, but you don't have to.
No, win is fine.
You won.
But
it's got to be better this weekend against Pittsburgh. We all know. Yeah.
I think the field goal that they got before the end of the half was
huge.
Oh, my goodness. You cannot overestimate how important that
and
play was
psychologically. Such a stupid series from Buffalo to even allow
what
it to happen.
What are you thinking, Sean McDermott? You guys up there in Buffalo, they think they've upgraded from Doug Marrone. Not today, baby. Doug Marrone owns you, Bills Mafia. He owns you for the second time. He has ownership papers. He's got them pinned up in his office right now, and he looks at them. And, you know, knowing Doug, he's a good guy. He probably just smirks. He probably doesn't belly laugh like I do, but he smirks. That's what I'm guessing is going on right now behind closed doors, smirking at the ownership of Bills Mafia and that organization. Doug would never say anything like that. I do not speak for Doug Marrone, obviously, on that point. But getting that field goal at the end of the half, Tone, I'm telling you, I mean, Sean McDermott throwing the football, you get a drop, and then you lead a receiver right out of bounds. Jags saved two timeouts. Who knows with the sequence of plays? Maybe they have time anyway, right? Because Blake makes a long run. Maybe they run up, spike the ball. You get one more play where he runs for another first down, spike the ball again, and you're kicking a little bit earlier than you would have otherwise. Maybe it works out. But we know this. When you put the Jags in that situation with two timeouts, they were a lot more dangerous at the end of the half. And to go in as terribly as the offense played in the first half.
Yeah, I think it would have been, at the very least, I think the Jags would have been attempting a 50-plus yard field goal to end the half. I don't
possibly
think they get the next play. That got them down in field goal range like that.
Regardless, they got the kick.
They got it.
Lambeau converted. And a tie game felt like a breath of life.
Yeah.
It was like, start over. We get the ball first in the second half. We see how our defense is playing today. Defense has to play like they can't give up another point. Guess what? They didn't.
Yeah, again, just to emphasize the point, today in Buffalo, they have to scratch their head and say, what the hell was this guy doing?
First, Jacksonville. No. First, they have to dig themselves out of their house. Okay, then they go have to defrost the car for 2 hours. Then they have to start thinking.
In Jacksonville, you celebrate a victory and get ready for Pittsburgh. Buffalo has to play the what are they thinking?
Buffalo has to go
game.
Home to Buffalo.
Right.
All right. So
it's a shame. Well, they're only allowed to go outside for a couple months a year, I think, in Buffalo.
Well, right. Which is why
I understand why they're stir crazy.
Like, they were gleeful.
I understand
a
little bit of the misery, like a little bit of the insanity. I get it when you get stuck in a cabin for 10 months out of the year. You see sunlight, you lose your mind a little bit.
Hey, I don't know what they're doing this afternoon. I know at 1:18 I'll be on the first tee. So there, you tell
it's
me.
A shame to
you
live
tell
here.
Me who's got a better living situation right now. All right, Jaguar fans, you have waited for this for so long. So we want you to have the floor today. John Osier will join us, but we want this to be about Jags fans' voices. What was the day like for you? What was the tailgating experience like for you? What was the atmosphere in the stadium? What were some of your favorite memories of the game? What are your thoughts? I mean, if you want to talk about looking ahead to Pittsburgh, you can do that. I mean, today's more about the fact that the Jacksonville Jaguars have planted their flag and said, we're back, okay? We're back and we're not to be messed with. Doesn't mean we're guaranteed to win a Super Bowl, but we're back as a team that not only can get to the playoffs, Tony, but now is set up for a run of playoff seasons with that entire defense coming back next year with the possible exception of Aaron Colvin. I still haven't heard anything about Paul Posluszny. Have you heard anything
Nothing
further
yet, no.
on Paul? So hoping the best for him. Maybe Osher will have an update on that for us coming up. If you'd like to get in today, the First Coast Roofing question of the day asks you, who do you give your three game balls to for the Jags yesterday? Whomever they go to, you decide. Hit us up on Twitter with your responses, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at John Osier. You can also hit us up on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, the phone lines at 641-1010, and the text line at the very same number, driven by Duval Ford, 641-1010. If you're outside the 904 area code, obviously just apply that area code when you dial or text in. And we'll take your calls. We'll hear some audio from the Jags post-game yesterday. We will celebrate playoff victory Monday for the first time on this program since we started it over 4 years ago now, I guess over four seasons ago, right? Mm-hmm. On the offseason, it's been four full seasons that we've done on Jaguars Today. For the first time, we've had a chance to talk about a playoff game and now a playoff victory for the Jags. And where do they go from here? Let's celebrate it on a Vaseo victory Monday. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you. Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here, Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It was incredible. You know, kind of talking to guys on the sidelines, there's not a lot of people, I think, outside of Mercedes that have ever seen the stadium like that. And, you know, I think for us to run out of the tunnel and see all those people there, and, you know, for the first time since I've been here, see, you know, the tarps taken off of the upper deck and the corners, you know, it was special. It was cool to be able to do this in front of, you know, our home crowd in Jacksonville in our stadium. Everybody knows it hasn't been done in a long time, so it was really special to be able to give them that.
Do we have the audio, Tyler, of Doug Marrone? Yeah, let's do Doug Marrone there, the locker room cut four. This is Doug Marrone after the game recognizing the fans of the city of Jacksonville.
The organization has gone through a lot, you know what I'm saying? Guys that have been through here have gone through a lot, but the people that have gone through it the most have been the fans. Yeah. We haven't had a home victory since 1999. So I want to make sure that this game ball goes to City Hall for the fans of Jacksonville. Yeah.
There you go. That was, let's just say, a very wise move, right, by Doug Marrone. Doug Marrone's a smart guy, right? You know what I mean? Like, that gesture.
Stoking the fire.
I think it goes a long way.
Yep.
But you know,
I think he feels it, too.
I agree.
Hello, John.
Good
Osher.
Morning, John. Anyway, Osher, yes.
But remember, this isn't just like a new theme for Doug. It's something he said from day one at his introductory press conference. He may have even said it last year when he was interim. He has kids who are Jaguars fans. I mean, he has kids who follow the NFL. I'm sure they talk to people at school, et cetera, et cetera. He knows how much the city's been through. He was here for 2 years and kind of saw it. He wasn't active in the community as an assistant, but he saw it. He lived here. And he's been pretty consistent from day one and, to me, pretty heartfelt. He's talked on our show that we do on Fridays about being a Yankees fan and being a Syracuse fan. And he understands, you know, obviously with Yankees fans, he understands
losing.
A long,
suffering time in the 80s.
Yeah, you really did, those 3 years. But point being, I do think he knows what it's like to be a fan. He grew up on it. He gets that connection. And he's been pretty consistent with it. I thought it was a cool gesture.
I think it's much appreciated because there are a lot of folks who go, you know, or players over the years in any city who go, well, I wasn't a part of that. You can't blame me. Like, why are they so upset? We just had a loss. It's not a loss or a lost season. It's how many have you stacked up? And this fan base lives through all of them. Players come and go and coaches come and go. For Doug Marrone to recognize that, and that's real. I mean, 10 years, now Buffalo, longer suffering. Don't care, quite frankly. 10 years is plenty.
And talking to a couple of players afterward, even outside of like the camera mob, when they knew they were sort of being quoted by everybody, a couple of players said, "Hey, it was real. I mean, it was cool. It was a cool atmosphere to be a part of." It didn't strike me they were just saying it because it was the thing to say after a game. It was, hey, you know, early in the season, it wasn't as enthusiastic as maybe you hoped, and they realized that they still had to keep earning it, and boy, to see it come together is really cool.
Well, you had 9 years of expectations not being met, right? Or hopes not being delivered upon or whatever the
and
case.
And it built through the season.
That's what I'm saying.
The December games like Seattle and Houston felt different.
It built the way it's supposed
to
be.
Seattle and Houston were great atmospheres.
And yesterday was unbelievable. And I think Doug Marrone understanding that not only the idea of being a fan and what it's like to be a fan, but the connection that a team in a smaller market needs to have with its market. Like, that direct connection is what makes this thing work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think him understanding that aspect of it and embracing that aspect of it. I mean, when he joined me in studio before the season started, you know, go kick the crap out of somebody and party like rock stars afterwards. Yesterday, Jacksonville, you get to party like a rock star. You won a playoff game at home. You haven't done it in 18 years. Go nuts.
And I think you're right
about kicking the crap out of somebody and then celebrating like rock stars afterwards.
With a bologna and cheese sandwich, right? Because that's how rock stars do.
But
when you're, you know, we're a small market relative to the rest of the league. Not a small city by any stretch of the imagination. But you can't, like, no one's going to go, you know, New York, Big Apple till we die, right?
Right,
I mean, it's
right.
like, you know, it's a place you play. It's
Manhattan versus y'all.
Right. Duval versus all y'all. Right. That's the best. That's a good slogan that was going around yesterday. I saw the signs and the shirts and all that stuff. But when you hear Telvin Smith saying, we are Duval till we die, that is, you don't get that everywhere, I don't think, you know?
No, and they've embraced it. And a guy like Telvin, I say from Jacksonville, but he's from around here. He
close
gets
enough,
it.
Florida State, yeah. down the road.
And they've been here. You know, there's something to be said in life when you've sort of made it through the hard times together. And I think they do feel like there's a core of the fan base. And then when they're out, if they're at the town center or whatever, you can sort of connect with these guys because of the size of the community. It's cool. I mean, yeah. It's an unbelievable day.
It really was just a near perfect day, honestly. I mean, I can cosmetically, not always, right? Tough to watch offensively at times. At the end of the day, it's all worth it. When you walk out, when you're held high and you're victorious and you're moving on and you still play.
Well, from a historic point of view, these are the ones you remember. You know, you still remember the Patriots 98 beating them. There's only a few of these that go in your record book. And you'll say, remember the playoff game. I can remember being in Indianapolis in 2003, and they hadn't had a home playoff game. I remember the columnist there, Bob Kravitz, who had been in Denver, a very prominent guy, had said, this team needs a home playoff game, needs a home playoff victory. And I was like, you know, I had been in Jacksonville where they'd had a couple, and there had been enthusiasm in Jacksonville, so it didn't really connect with me. And, boy, when they had that home playoff game up there, it was electric, boom, boom. I now realize what he's talking about, and you saw it here too. That home playoff scene, memory, et cetera, et cetera. There had been a gap. This does reestablish it.
Big time. All right, let's get to the phones for the first time today. Love to hear as many comments as we can. We'll get to the text line a little bit later. Social media blowing up as well at 641-1010. We go to Drew in Tallahassee, who was at the game yesterday in Everbank. Good morning, Drew. How are you?
Couldn't be better.
I can imagine. What's on your mind?
So I got two things. One is about the fans, and the other is about the future next week. But the Bills are trying to take over Everbank. However, I think those towels that we had really showed how many fans we had there. It was awesome. Great idea.
And the only not thing the first time they've done that, by the way. Oh. Go ahead.
Oh, really? Really? Dang, I didn't know that. But
going back a while. But go ahead. Finish your point, please.
My first home playoff game I've ever been to, so it was a great experience. The only thing the Bills fans took over was the county jail, in my opinion.
I'd like to get some numbers on that, by the way. I don't know. I'd be disappointed if it's not in the scores.
And, you know, hearing him say it's the first home playoff game that he's been to, there's a lot of fans who had that experience.
Sounds like a youngish guy.
And I had one fan I asked, you know, after a couple hours after the game was over, I was like, where were you when Jalen sealed the Jags' first playoff? Like, and a bunch of fans were sending me different stuff and pictures of where they were, like what section they were sitting in. And one guy really struck me. He sent me a picture of him standing with his kids, and he's like, I got a 17 and a 14-year-old. And I kept telling him, stick with it, stick with it. It'll be worth it. At some point, it's going to be worth it. I got to take him to this game today. I'm like, this is what it's about, guys. Like, that's the Duval versus all y'all thing, is that picture to me of a guy being able to take his 17 and 14-year-old kids that have never experienced anything even close to that and being able to walk into that stadium and walk out with his chest puffed out. Because they won a playoff game and they're going to Pittsburgh. And you don't feel like they're going to get annihilated by Pitt. It's like, they've already beaten this team. They can do this. They can go on a run in the playoffs. It's a reality for these guys, and it hadn't been a reality for at least a decade and, more honestly, 20 years.
And it shows you how cool the playoffs are, because if that's a regular season game, 10-3, all we're getting today are, oh, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with it? But the playoffs overwhelm that.
Right, and that is...
And they should, because it's about winning going on. And you basically play the playoffs hoping to get another chance to game plan, get another chance to play, and then you see what happens. Because it's all matchups, it's all plays. It, it's all huge plays, momentum turners, and the Jaguars got a couple more than the Bills yesterday.
I think when I'm thinking of the towels, I'm thinking of the time Pittsburgh came in and the Jags gave out cheer sticks. You remember that, Tone?
Yeah.
So basically, whatever terrible towels were in attendance, you couldn't tell because everyone had these cheer sticks that right. looked similar, and they were waving them, and it was, you know, it's yesterday wasn't about that. It's not like the Bills have some signifying thing other than, I don't know, what, obesity or, you know, what is it that unites their fan base as they sit up there in the cold and eat wings all winter? I can't think of what that would be.
I mean, Berman gave them the nobody circles the wagons thing.
There is that. So I guess if there were some chuck wagons, perhaps.
They know really well how to celebrate Super Bowl losses.
You just went off the top rope to that.
There's that as well.
With a region-wide weight joke. That's
good. I assume, look, I used to live up north. I know people in the winter do a lot of eating, John.
Sure.
Depression sets in, you know, you don't make the playoffs in, you know, nearly two decades, and you know what's there.
Oh, no, I like it.
Wings and wing sauce.
I like this side of you.
Hey. Oh, you haven't seen this side
before?
You think it's a new side of me? Let's go to Matt, who's up in Philly, but is a Duval native, checking in. I'm sorry, Mike up in Philly. Excuse me, Mike. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
The Jaguars played like the times, if y'all remember the Super Bowl with the Ravens and I forgot who the other time was. It kind of reminded me of their playoff run. And if the defense keeps playing like that, you know, and then a healthy dose of Fournette and Lee and Clay Borders just doing him, we'll win. I believe if we beat the Steelers, we'll make it to the Super Bowl. And at the NFC, I predict the Saints go to the Super Bowl.
All right, we'll see if it comes to pass, Mike. Look, they got a healthy dose of Fournette yesterday. They didn't get a healthy dose of productivity out of Fournette,
right.
though, right? I mean, he got 21 carries. You know, they're not running the ball at all right now, at all well, at least with the backs. And, you know, I heard a guy call in the drill this morning say, Leonard Fournette should be a goal line back because he's not getting it done in the open field. Do you think Leonard Fournette's not the best option that they have
in
that running right. back room? Come on. I mean, they're struggling to run the ball right now. If they could, but it's almost like that would be found money at this point if Leonard Fournette could have a 120-yard game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, I've been beating this drum for a while. It's really, with a few exceptions, it's been like that all year. It's a little more sluggish than it was really, really early in the season, but it has been a running game that has struggled far more than the number one ranking would indicate. It's been particularly pronounced in the last 4 or 5 weeks, I think, because people are watching it. But I've gone back to this stat a lot. First four games of the season, Fournette was never over 4 yards a carry. He didn't get over 4 yards a carry. He was under 3 yards a carry in Pittsburgh until the 90-yard run.
Right. And what do you have the other really long one the next week against the Rams, right?
The Rams, and after that it was – so, again, my point is this team has stuck with it. It has convinced itself it's a running team – that plays into the whole defense and the way they play. But Seattle was the one game out of the last six. If they could ever get back to that kind of offensive line play and running game, then they're going to be dominant. I just don't know if it happens.
All right, let's get back to the phones before we break here. We want to get this one in. Mike on the south side, who is a firefighter who works the Matt and Mike. I can't keep them straight. Matt on the south side, good morning. How are you?
What's up, fellas? No problem. Happy Victory Monday.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so it's just got a couple of things. One of the things, I've had the opportunity to get to work the majority of the games. And something that I saw yesterday that I haven't seen at any game was when everyone stood up and sang for the national anthem. The whole stadium was in unison and was singing, and it was one of the coolest things that I have seen at that stadium in a very long time. I thought that was pretty awesome. And the other one was, it was interesting to watch and go out and deal with and see the Bills fans, the Bills Mafia, because that was like Florida, Georgia for adults. Out in parking lot X, and they were pretty upset post game, and needless to say, there was a lot of stuff lit on fire out in the parking lot that left for us to clean up. But
yeah, real classy.
Happy for the Jags. Yeah, they were a classy group. But in any case, y'all fellas have a good day. Go Jags, and hopefully we'll pull one out next week.
You got it, baby. Matt on the south side. That's Matt, Tony, on the south side, by the way.
All right, Matt.
He's so happy. He didn't care if you call him, like, Ted.
He's like, right, call me Alfred. It doesn't matter. Matt on the south side. So if you missed it, he's a firefighter. He works some of the games. And I didn't, you know, we're here. We walk up the pregame right to the national anthem. And so we don't even really hear the national anthem down here in the studio and not aware of what's going on. So that, you know. After a season where that was a thing,
a topic,
you know, focus,
sure.
Right? I could understand people saying, you know what, this is not going to be a thing today. We're all Americans. We're all and you know what I mean. And put your differences aside. We're here for playoff football. And if that's the way it went down, which it sounds like it did, that is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I'm glad that was cool.
Yeah,
I don't really hear it again in the press box. You're so insulated. I was aware of the anthem, standing for it, and watching it. But hard to tell the noise and the mood of the stadium from where I sit.
Yeah, and if you go up to Pittsburgh this weekend, clean up after yourself. You ain't from Buffalo. Show some respect.
That's right. And just, you know, the only thing they're going to set on fire are the Steelers' playoff chances, Tony. That's all we do, all right? We're not arsonists down here. Oh, Bills Mafia, you really embarrassed yourself. But you know what? Maybe you didn't. Maybe you just showed who
you are. Lights things on fire? What is
Bills fans?
West Virginia Mountaineer fans as well. They like couches on
fire.
Is that
okay?
That's a thing. They like couches on fire.
Now we know.
Our GM's a West Virginia guy, by the way. He's probably lit a couch or two back in the day. Steve Griffin.
Oh, is he?
I'm looking at you. Oh, absolutely.
All right.
I bet he's been a couch lighter. You know, when you're in college.
Is that what you guys do, like in the back parking lot?
Down frat row, you light a couch.
I usually go in the
fire.
Front. Is there a back part of the station where you just
don't know? I've been behind the new building, so there may be, for all I know. All right, we got to take a time out here, getting behind 641-1010 if you want to get on board. It's Jaguars today and a Viseo Victory Monday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, if you missed it, Jags win, baby! One winner, one loser. We all know who the losers are, right? A big collective. The fire-lighting idiots. They're scrambling back to their snowdrifts.
Were there reports of them being arrested? Is that a deal?
I hope so.
Is that a deal?
I'm guessing.
Why the callers?
I'm guessing he's extrapolating from their behavior. There may
gotcha. Okay.
Some arrest. I don't know. I've not heard any
I don't cheer for people to be arrested.
I do when they're
lighting things on fire
in the parking lot maliciously. I root for all those people to be arrested, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, it's a general rule, but in that case, I think it would be
I root for you correct. To be arrested sometimes.
That's
just because it'd be fun to see what would happen. Would he keep his job? I don't know. It'd be embarrassing.
The one
that got me going yesterday, and I'm sure a lot of people saw this, somebody tweets out, like, Bills Mafia ruling the house, or I don't know what they said, some dumb statement. And somebody had filmed this whole thing. They're, you know, wherever they're tailgating, there are a bunch of Bills fans. They're tailgating together. Good for them, right? The Jags do the same thing. When they went to Nashville, a bunch of people went up there. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? So a couple Jags fans are walking through, and they're just getting screamed at. And the Jags fans are like, you know, we're outnumbered here, like 500-1. Let's just mind our business. Keep going. There's two of them. They're carrying a cooler between them. And some idiot, drunken Bills fan goes running up, and just picture this as they're like, I don't know, 20 yards away by now. He comes running up, jumps as they're carrying that cooler. We've all done it, right? Carry the cooler between two people. It's loaded down with who knows what. And the guy jumps up on the cooler like he's jumping on a flaming table. You could break the guy's wrist who's carrying that. Never mind the fact it's just not your property, all right?
Right.
It's not yours. That's their tailgate. Leave him the hell alone. And he comes running back, and they're like, ooh, look how great we are, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know what, man? I hope you get punched right in the throat like 16 times throughout the course of the game and deserve it, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I don't want just wanton, random throat punching. That guy, all you had to do was go to the social media and say, oh, yeah, I see.
That's all that right, guy.
Definitely deserving of a throat punch.
Go punch his throat.
Go punch him in the throat, right. Okay? That's not an official statement from the Jacksonville Jaguars. one of the Bills fans, this is this from you, Tyler, or is this from somebody on the text line?
Oh, this is me. I was walking to my car yesterday, and there was a Bills fan, probably about my age, about 24, 25, sitting in cuffs, and his friends are kind of about 10, 15 feet behind him. And the friend goes over and says, what did he do? And he goes, he threw a beer can at a cop. How stupid is he? And yes, of course, that Bills fan got arrested. And yes, he was very stupid.
Well, think about it.
That'll do it.
Would you rather go back to Buffalo or spend time here in the lovely county jail? I think bars sound pretty good if the option is going back to Buffalo.
Well, yeah, and can you imagine how many arrestable offenses a cop outside of a stadium after a playoff game sees?
Right, and
right,
let's
and just
go.
Says, you know what, I'm not going to, it's fine, let it go, go on your way, your friends need to get you home, just stop.
Right.
That you would throw a beer can at a cop.
Not wise.
That's a
line. I'm not a cop, but that would cross my line.
I'm shocked that a fan base with such a seemingly high IQ would resort to such moves, he says with heavy sarcasm.
Never in my life have I said, hey, let's go throw beer cans at cops.
I'll tell you a story off the air. It wasn't me, though.
Oh, is that you? Okay.
No, it wasn't me. I have a good story about that. Let's go to Terry at the beaches next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're great. What's up?
Good. I'm having a hard time trying to figure out who to root for on Saturday with the New England and Tennessee game.
I don't think you can root for Tennessee ever as a Jags fan, but if they were to win the game and the Jags were to win Sunday, that would be the most desirable outcome.
You darn sure want Tennessee to win that game.
Do you root openly for the Tennessee Titans? I don't know.
On
that game?
Tennessee.
Is the difference between playing at home and on the road in the playoffs?
But you don't know if you're going to – like, if the Jags won – the Jags played ahead of time and beat Pittsburgh, then you'd say absolutely you're rooting for Tennessee to win because then you get a home game.
Well, if you're a fan, your cheering interest has to be – what's best for my team to potentially go to the Super Bowl.
So you're saying the Jags can't beat the Patriots, John? John Osher, Jaguars.com, senior writer?
I think they can, and I've said before, if the offensive line blocks the way it did against Seattle, I think this team goes all the way. And I still think that, even if it's against the Patriots. But if you're given a choice between playing at home and on the road in the postseason, you want to play at home.
I get that. I'm just saying, from a standpoint of being a Jaguar fan, I don't think most Jaguar fans who've been a Jaguar fan for any period of time could find themselves actively like rooting for the Titans. You know, it's a conflict. That's why the call is a conflict, because the outcome is more desirable for Tennessee to win. That doesn't mean I, as a Jaguar fan, have to root for the Titans.
It was one of the, like, watching the game on Saturday. You don't want the Titans to come back in that game, but they did, and it's like,
What? Kansas City would be in the same circumstance. They'd be coming here too. I had no problem when Derek Johnson looked like he was running that one back.
No, I wanted the Titans to lose too, but it's okay.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Right. Either one of those, there was no bad outcome of that game in terms of who you could potentially play. I thought Kansas City had a decent chance to go to New England because they've already done it this year.
I want to exercise the demons. I've been saying it for weeks now that bring on the Titans.
I just thought it was more likely that KC would get to the point where they'd be in the AFC championship.
Right, I agreed with that.
That standpoint. Anyway, Terry, I know a lot of conflict going on, but we appreciate the call. Let's get Mac on the north side checking in here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mac.
The producer, I'm gonna change that because my what I was gonna say. I hate the Titans, and I'm scared. I still haven't got over 1999. I would rather go to Foxborough and lose than to come out here and play the Titans for the third year in a row. Because just like 1999, we were the division champions, and we got beat by the Titans twice. It'd be like 1999 all
over. Well, only if you win.
Only
if you presume they lose, Mac.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm pulling for the Patriots. I'm not pulling for the Titans.
That's fine, but I would not rather go to New England and lose than have a chance to play the Titans, period.
I got you. I feel you.
You know, that's all I'm saying. I understand what you're saying. I think that's where there's a lot of conflicted emotions about this. I know what you're saying.
Oh, that week would be a...
Please bring the Titans to Jacksonville.
Anxiety in this fan base would be fever pitch.
I know what he's saying. I think he's saying he'd rather... I presume he's saying I'd rather go to New England and lose than lose to the Titans. Yes, I would agree with that.
Beat whoever.
Okay, understood, Tony. But if the outcome is if we put ourselves a few weeks in the future and the Jags were to lose an AFC championship game, it'd be a much better offseason if you lose in Foxborough than it would be if you lost at home.
I guess,
to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Oh, you guess? Do you think there's even a close comparison there? I don't know.
Don't lose.
Understand that, but I'm saying there's no guarantee that they're going to win.
You got a better chance to be the Titans or the Patriots?
The Titans. I'm with you. I get it. I'd rather play the Titans, but if you knew that you were going to lose to either one, you'd rather lose to the Patriots. That's my point. It's just a hypothetical. This is not.
I don't like talking about hypotheticals that assume I lose.
Stop it. Bill on the South Side, next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Bill.
Morning. I was calling about Blake's running. He should, I think, run regardless of whether he's having a bad day passing. The greatest quarterback we had, Mark Brunell, was a better passer than Blake, and he ran all the time. It drove defenses crazy. I don't think you should wait till the seventh possession to figure this out. They should, early in the game, the critical nature of converting on third down is so important that he should be running as part of the game plan.
I don't dispute that. I think you could, you know, in fact, when I was in here with JP yesterday, JP will tell you, I was saying, give me some read option. Please mix in some read option. Where is it? Because at least then you've got a bit of mystery. Are they giving it to Fournette? Is he freeze him? You could still even pull up and throw off of that that look. So I don't necessarily disagree with that. I don't think you just make this a wing T offense or a you know, whatever, where it's just run the quarterback right all the time. By the way, I really don't know the ins and outs of the wing T offense, but that's usually the comparison that's made, right? I couldn't diagram the wing T right now for you, to be honest with you. But I think the point he's making, yes, this is where you throw a little caution to the wind.
Absolutely.
There's no tomorrow as far as that goes.
Well, but I think the caller is saying, obviously, you like when Blake's aggressive in the pocket. At the same time, you don't want to necessarily have him dropping back and just saying, okay, if your first read's not there, you run. Their game plan all along has been go through your reads, 1-2, and then if there's pressure, run. I don't think you stray from that and all of a sudden turn this into a, hey, drop back and at the first sign of duress, just go. I don't see them doing that, nor do I think they should.
Yesterday, I think it was the right thing to do.
Sure.
You know, sign of duress, tuck it and go. I think that's what Blake did in the second half.
I mean, he was still trying to go through his reads. And I mean, the duress on the fumble, obviously, was a broken play.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just duress was him dropping back the pass was duress yesterday. He was so awful, John. This is the worst first – I think the worst half of football, other than throwing – he didn't
compound
it with pick sixes.
Right.
Certainly this season. Yeah. I'm just talking about the aesthetic of the way the ball came out of his hand. And when he missed guys – I mean, I'd rather have an incomplete than an interception. I get it. But when he missed guys, he missed Bohannon out of the backfield by I mean, I'd hate to exaggerate, but it seemed like 5 yards on
a – there were three or four that were bad.
Pass in the book for a pro quarterback. Yep. There were more than three or four. He had three or four in a row where the ball didn't have anything resembling a spiral to it. If it did, it was spiraling along the wrong axis. So that's what I'm – I think yesterday was like he mentally probably reached a point where it was like, you know what, I'm going to take a look because I can remember a couple of instances where he took a quick peek and then just tucked it and he saw the edge was open and just go. And you know, I'm not saying that's the game plan going in against Pittsburgh, but in that circumstance, absolutely, I think that was absolutely the right thing to do yesterday. All right, we got to take a timeout here. Glad you're along with us on a Vaseo Victory Monday. How great is that? A playoff Victory Monday, 10-3, might as well have been 100-0, baby. That's what it feels like right now. We'll come back with a very brief look at this date in football and the drive around the NFL. Get back to your calls at 641-1010 with John Osier, with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. Again, a Vaseo Victory Monday rolls on live at EverBank. Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you all week by Foundation Professionals of Florida. Just a couple of quickies here. Huh. Hey, listen up, Bills Mafia. Happy anniversary. January 8th, 2000, trailing 16-15 with 16 seconds left against the Tennessee Titans. The Titans stun the Buffalo Bills with a lateral pass on a kickoff return that turns into a 75-yard Kevin Dyson touchdown and a 22-16 wild card victory that is forever more known as the Music City Miracle. Now, that doesn't make me happy that the Titans won that game, but today it doesn't make me sad that the Bills lost that game. So now you're going to have back-to-back anniversaries. You know, 20 years from now, as you're remembering, your last playoff game was a loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, 10-3. And then you can go, you know, what, 30 years ago or whatever, 38 years ago, we also lost to Tennessee on the very next day. So good for you, Bills Mafia. You won't have to remember things that far apart, date-wise at least. One birthday of note today, Dwight Clark made the catch back in the early 80s for the San Francisco 49ers, helped put them on the national landscape as he caught the ball from Joe Montana, helped knock out the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs. Dwight Clark, born in the state in 1957, a two-time Pro Bowler. He is 61 years old. The state in football, remember, another miserable memory for the Bills, is brought to you by Foundation Professionals of Florida. Is your home's foundation letting you down? It doesn't have to. The engineers and specialists at Foundation Professionals of Florida are your full-service foundation repair company. They'll give you the peace of mind that your home is safe. Give them a call, and they'll check you out and make sure you're straight. 287-2690. That's 287-2690. Or visit foundationprosfl.com. That was this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
In case you missed it, here's ESPN's Sean McDonough apparently still dealing with puberty while calling the wild card game between the Titans and Chiefs on Saturday afternoon.
And the ball comes out! The ball has come out! Derek Johnson, the all-time leading tackler in the history of the Chiefs, with a touchdown for Kansas City!
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Peter Brady.
With the wild card weekend in the rearview mirror, the divisional round playoff matchups are set, and we have a little bit of history already in the matchups. The NFC's one seed, Philadelphia, has been installed as a 2.5-point home underdog against the 6-seed Atlanta Falcons. The Eagles would be the first one seed in either conference to be an underdog in their first playoff game if the line stays on the Falcons side of things, which it likely will. The schedule for the weekend looks like this. Atlanta and Philadelphia gets it started on Saturday at 4:35 on NBC. The Tennessee Titans will be in New England at 8:15 on Saturday night on CBS. Sunday gets started with your Jags trying to repeat history and become just the second team in NFL history to win in Pittsburgh twice in the same season. The only other one, the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2007 at 1:05 on CBS Sunday afternoon. And the weekend will cap off with New Orleans playing in Minnesota at 4:40 on Fox. Talking about that Pittsburgh deal, I saw Tad Dickman tweeted it out this morning. The Jags are 4-1 since Ben Roethlisberger got drafted in Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh, they're 4-1 on the road against that football team. Hopefully, make it 5-1 this weekend. Carolina quarterback Cam Newton took a shot to the helmet during the fourth quarter of the Panthers' loss yesterday, but only missed one offensive snap. An incomplete pass from backup Derek Anderson on 3rd and 17. He was back in the game on the next series for Carolina. The NFL is looking into whether the Panthers properly follow protocol, which obviously doesn't take into account whether or not you are the star quarterback for a team playing a one-score game in the fourth quarter of the wild card weekend of the playoffs. And it shouldn't take that into account, by the way.
No.
So we'll see what happens with that, as the NFL having to look into yet another team possibly not following the protocol that they're trying to get installed to protect players from head injuries. We'll see how that plays out.
I could not believe people. I saw some people, obviously not Jaguar fans, but on social media and commenting on different game stories last night as I was going through the web a little bit, seeing reaction to the game, that Dante Fowler was too violent when he tackled Tyrod Taylor, and that he was obviously trying to hurt him. Maybe. I mean, like, I know the point is not to hurt guys, but inflicting pain when you tackle somebody is still, I believe, a desired trait in the National Football League.
Yeah, I rewatched a lot of games this morning. I did not get to the Dante Fowler play, but I've gotten a lot of questions about that. Was that a dirty play?
I didn't think it was.
You're allowed under these rules to tackle a guy hard if he has the ball.
Right.
It's football. Guys,
he was
get
running.
Hurt.
He was taking off.
I'm not
off
trying to
running.
Be snide about it, but I'm sort of walking through. He was taking off running, and Dante tackled him hard to the ground and threw him down.
Yeah,
that's
right.
And that's okay.
Guys get hurt sometimes in football.
Was there intent to it?
I don't think Dante tried to slam his head to the ground. I think Dante wanted to slam Tyrod Taylor to the ground, forcefully tackle him. That's
right.
The game.
He plays football. Very violent.
Yeah.
And that's okay as long as the guy who you're tackling has the ball.
There was never a hint or a suggestion. Well, I don't know. We're not watching the game broadcast, but listen to the guys on the radar. Granted, home team announcers, Frank and Jeff and Tony, but we're watching it in here. None of us thought it was anything illegal.
Now, had he done that? If that's too violent for football, then you got to outlaw football.
Don't watch football.
That's just a football play.
Right. There's certain things you can't legislate away everything.
guys are going to get hurt.
Right.
I mean, and look, what happened when guys thud up another guy? You know what I'm talking about. Where the runner with the ball stops immediately and, you know, has that immediate forward progress stop. You know the kind of tackles I'm talking about. What do the guys do? They dump their chest. Like, yeah, that's the hit I've been looking for all game.
Well, sort of on this topic, there was a play in the first half where I think it was the first half, where Taylor ran to his left and was over toward the sidelines, and Jalen had a beat on him and had his shoulder down and sort of pulled up and backed off, could have really leveled Tyrod and probably hit him in the head. It struck me where there's a play where 5-6 years ago he probably takes that shot, probably a smart play by Jalen.
I think it's more smart now, because I think now you're more concerned with getting a 15-yard penalty than you are the health of Tyrod Taylor on that play. I have no doubt Jalen would lay out Tyrod Taylor. Exactly.
No, I'm saying he was being nice. I'm saying he was being smart. But that probably would have been an illegal play, whereas I don't think Dante's was my point.
Right. I see what you're saying. And that's smart. Don't make illegal hits. You know, if the guy's out of bounds or halfway stepping out of bounds, and, you know, it's tough when every once in a while a quarterback fakes you out. You know, you look like they're running out of bounds and you look stupid.
Right.
But right up until the moment they step out, blast them.
Right. And on this play, Jalen clearly measured him and then saw he was going down. I was like, nope, not pulling.
That's a smart play by Jalen. 6-4-1-10-10. Back to the phone lines we go. Ruben on the north side on a Viseo victory Monday. Good morning, Ruben.
How you doing, man? I'm great.
We're great as well.
Moving on.
Yes, sir.
I'm a season ticket holder, and I'm up in round 4-12.
Okay.
And most of the Buffalo fans up there, most of them were pretty good. I know, you know, we jawed back and forth because they were talking about when Bortles would make a mistake, you know, they would holler, "Let's go, Bortles." But when Bortles would start running, I would do the same thing to them. But whenever the game was ending and they started leaving, you know, they were tapping most of us on the shoulder and said, "Good game, you know, just don't let New England take it again."
Well, and you know what? If that's the case, good for those, you know, we're taking it up a notch a little bit here today. Obviously, not every member of the Bills fandom is a jerk, but they've got some flaming jerks that are prominent and you know, take it way beyond.
Right. If there were 7,000 here, I don't know the numbers, and there were 500 jerks, then the 500 jerks are going to stand out. It's just the way
it is. You know, so I'm glad you had a good experience, Ruben, and that's part of the game. You know, giving it to the other fan base is part of the game, right? I mean,
doing a joke cheer for the other quarterback, that's funny to me.
Right, smack talk, all that is fine. There never should be a threat of violence, to me, between fan bases or anything
Flame
like that.
Flame is not that funny.
Flame is not funny. And, you know, just drunken antics, to me, are usually not that funny either.
Right.
You know, depending on what the antics are and depending on whether it's me drunk or not. Moving on. Thank you, Ruben. We appreciate it. And you know what? We love having you up there in 4-12 and all the rest of the fans around you up there. Let's get Claude in Arlington next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Claude.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic, brother. How are you?
Hey, doing well. I just wanted to share four thoughts that I had this morning after the game yesterday. First of all, I moved here in 2003 from Tallahassee, Florida, became a Jaguar as soon as I arrived. Obviously, as a Seminole and Jaguar, it was an epic moment yesterday for me as a fan. I also wanted to share that I'm with Citywide Maintenance, and to all the Buffalo Bill fans, you can bring all the tables you want. We're going to clean it up with pride, because this ain't no home where the Buffalo roam. Jalen Ramsey, thanks for stealing the teal with the interception. Obviously, as a Seminole and a Jaguar, again, just an epic moment for me. And to Ben Roethlisberger, you wanted us again. We are ready, steady, and go Jags.
There you go. Claude in Arlington, maybe the call of the morning so far. They hit a lot of them. We had a guy in the post game yesterday, John, said the same thing. Said, well, the Seminoles really showed out. Even on both sides, mentioned Nick O'Leary. I particularly wanted to thank Kelvin Benjamin for his contribution to the Jaguar victory as well, with the epic push-off that even, you know, my son, who doesn't even know anything about football, could go, That's not supposed to happen.
Right.
I mean, that was as blatant a play. Look, I know people are saying, how can you throw the ball at the one-yard line? Teams throw the ball routinely at the one-yard line. You know, you've got a team that's going to be ganged up to stop you in the middle. You've got a guy who's 6'5", and you throw him a jump ball. It's not a, to me, that's not a crazy play. It's only first down, for goodness sakes. It's only a bad play when he pushes off
right.
and puts him back 10 yards with offensive pass interference.
Well, and Jalen said after the game, somebody asked him, were you surprised they threw it there? And he was like, no, most teams, they have a 6'5 receiver.
They're going to take a shot.
They're going to take a shot on the fate.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, you know, he was, right. And if it's incomplete, you got two more chances, or possibly three, to try to pound it in from the one.
Right. I mean, in that situation with my guess is, as time goes on, teams will steer clear enough of Jalen Ramsey where they may try to run instead of throwing a fade at Jalen Ramsey. But, you know, grand scheme of things, I didn't think that was a horrific
I didn't either. I mean, look, Jalen's only so tall. You can only be so tall, right? And that's one thing where you've got a receiver that big that you should utilize. I mean, if you had a great corner, let's say Xavier Rhodes is matched up against Allen Robinson, right? Allen Robinson's healthy. You might take a shot at the fade, on even though he's one of the top corners in the game.
Well, if played correctly by the quarterback and the receiver, the advantage of the fade, everybody knows this, the advantage of the fade is that it's a phenomenally low risk
of being picked off.
Right. And it's not supposed to cause an interference. I mean, the worst thing that happens is supposed to be you're at second and one. So
the funny thing to me is that Jalen kind of like took the blow, got pushed back. He didn't get knocked down. He got pushed back a little bit. Still broke up the pass. The pass was still
him getting interfered incomplete. With and defending the pass.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
That was awesome. All right. We'll take another timeout. You sticking around for one more? You got to get out of here. Locker room's open up.
I'll stick
up,
around
right?
I get the text.
Okay. Locker room's getting ready to open up. John Osher will be out of here shortly, but we will continue to take your calls with and without him moving forward here on Jaguars Day this morning, brought to you by our friends at Paseo. It is a victory Monday, first playoff victory Monday we've had here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Malik Jackson, and you're listening to the only weekday show dedicated to your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Third and seven from the 46-yard line. Shotgun for McCoy, two left. One right, slot right. Now play. The tight end motions back to the left side. Four-man front for the Jags. They blitz. Taylor's going to get hit. He's going to get sacked. Jacksonville rears its head, and they're going to get him inside the 40-yard line, back at the 38. And the Bills will have to punt it away. A lot of man coverage across the way for Jacksonville. Will they blitz out of this? It is a blitz. Here they come. Taylor rolls to his left. He gets hit. He's going to get sacked. Miles Jack got him. He got his hand on his shoulder and then pulled him to the ground. Back in Bills territory.
The defense has driven you all season. How did you find a way to pull it out again today?
You know, they say defense wins championships. And we put that pressure on our back. We understood these last couple weeks, everybody started doubting us a little bit. Said the defense is a little shaky. We just had to get back Monday, come back and get right, man. And I'm telling you, we dug in and we fought four quarters for this one.
That was a lot of stuff going on there. You had Frank Frangie on the call, of course, with Malik Jackson sack, Miles Jack sack, both big plays in the game. Miles Jack, Tony, got one hand on Tyrod, and that was it. It was over. He was not going to let go.
He's a strong man.
He was. Certainly on that play, he was. And, of course, that was Telvin on the field with the NFL Network's Tom Pelissero immediately after the game, talking about the defense putting the team on its back. Look,
I still can't believe in one draft they got Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack.
Pretty amazing.
Well, it's still, and you watch Miles make that play, you watch Jalen make, I mean, that pick was just ridiculous. Like, they got both those guys in the same draft.
Right. I mean, Jalen is a first-team All-Pro. And by the way, I believe, and I can't know this for sure, they might list him alphabetically. He was listed first among corners, and alphabetically he would be listed first with Xavier Rhodes. But I don't know if there are multiple guys at the position. If the guys listed first got more votes or not, I don't know how that works. But either way, he's first-team All-Pro. Calais was first-team All-Pro defensive end. He was a second-team All-Pro interior defensive lineman. Who else? Telvin was second-team All-Pro. Not good enough, apparently, to make, what, six AFC linebackers make the Pro Bowl,
yeah.
Right? The first-team All-Pro list had three NFC linebackers. Okay, fine. Second-team had three AFC linebackers, including Telvin Smith. So kudos for the All-Pro squad for getting it right. And I'm wondering, did Calais making second team on the interior cost Malik Jackson a spot on the second team on the interior? Who cares? You know what? Here's the bottom line. You've got stars on the defensive side of the football. And what highway robbery, by the way, for A.J. Boye to not be a first-team All-Pro.
That's just crazy.
I get you only get two. I really do. And I get, we all believe Jalen Ramsey. We wouldn't trade him, I don't think, for any player on this roster, right? He'd be the first pick. If from any general manager taking a player off this roster, Jalen Ramsey would be the first pick, in my opinion. But I think A.J. Boye had an even stronger year than Jalen did this year. And that's not a knock on Jalen. I think they were 1-2 in the National Football League. Now, we don't watch Xavier Rhodes every week. But, Tony, A.J. Boye gave up the lowest quarterback rating on passes against him of any quarterback in like a decade in the National Football League.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. He had a better season than Jalen Ramsey. And again, I'm with you. If I had to pick one of them, I'd pick Jalen. I don't have to pick one of them. They got
right.
them both.
We got them both, and we're glad we do.
And we got a couple more years of it at least here in Jacksonville
right.
With both of those guys. But look, even in yesterday's game, Buffalo wasn't getting anything done throwing the ball. We know that. Anyone
right.
that watched the game knew that. But there was a play against the run where A.J. Boye basically threw the guy that was trying to block him off of it at the end of the line of scrimmage and then made a play on LeSean McCoy at the line of scrimmage. Like, and you're watching that kind of stuff, and it's like, yeah, second team All Pro. That's that kind of play, right? But he's one of the best in the league this year, and that he wasn't recognized that way in that arena alongside Jalen Ramsey is a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, second team All Pro is pretty damn good. But,
it is.
You know what? Hopefully, it fuels him. I wouldn't trade. Man, what a pair of cornerbacks the Jacksonville Jaguars have, Tony. I mean, honestly, we may look back on a period, there have been great corners. Who's the best corner that ever played with Deion Sanders? I couldn't tell you right now.
Don't
right?
know.
Because
yeah.
Deion so outshined everybody. They may have had a Pro Bowl or two, for all I know, throughout his career, who played with Deion back there. I can't think of one off the top of my head. I think of Mike Haynes and Lester Hayes from the early 80s in my lifetime as the pair that got held up as the greatest. These guys could be that kind of special. Now, in order to get recognized more widely than the 904 area code, you're going to have playoff success, right? And, well, that was a pretty good first step in that direction yesterday.
Yeah, and I had that thought, too. We had Blake talking coming out of a commercial break earlier today. Blake Bortles, with the way that we talked about him throughout all of last season, throughout this entire offseason, Blake Bortles just won a playoff game.
He's 1-0 in the postseason.
That guy just won a playoff game. After all, the way we've talked about it, and I know a lot of fans are still talking the same way, especially with the way he threw the ball yesterday, that guy, with everything he's dealt with, just won a playoff game.
I who knows what the future holds for Blake.
Right.
Very happy for him today. You know what? He threw it like garbage, ran it like a champ yesterday, and won the football game, helped win the football game. He was basically the offense for the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday, for good or bad, right? And it wasn't always pretty, but, you know, the W is what matters the most. And congrats to him, Blake, and all of his teammates. Let's get back to the phone lines here. Hunter in Fernandina next up here on Jaguars Today. Hunter, happy Victory Monday to you.
Oh, man, it's great, guys. How about it?
It sounds like you might have been yelling a little at the game yesterday.
Oh, my gosh, man, I was going nuts.
So tell, what was the scene like?
Oh, we've had season tickets for 15 years. I'm only 21 years old, and I've been going since I was 6 years old, and I have never seen that stadium so live and loud and just insane the way it was. I mean, what is Bills Mafia? I don't even care. I don't even know.
I don't know, man.
They were irrelevant. Man, the game was off the chain, man. It was awesome, dude.
Hey, Hunter, I don't know what you do for a living. Save it, brother, because you probably have to speak at some point this week. We appreciate you giving your all. That's what it's about, man, the connection. You walk out of saying you feel like you participated, Tony. You know, you've given your heart and soul and your emotions. That's three-quarters of Hunter's life. You know, he's a young man, but that's a long time when you've been a fan of a team to not have that opportunity to have it go to that degree. Now, I clearly remember back when we were allowed to go down in the final 2 minutes of the game on the sideline. Any media could do it. The late 90s were absurd, okay? Same thing. I mean, so it's not like this stadium has never had it before, but for these young guys like this, they may never have experienced it before, and I would have guessed Hunter was 65 years old when he opened his mouth. I guess that's what yelling all day does for you.
Well, yeah, and it's not only that you're 20 years old and it's your first taste of a team winning like this. This year's, for a lot of fans, is their first taste of seeing them win at all. I mean, it's been, if you've been a Jaguars fan for 10 years,
right,
this is the first time you've seen anything.
This is the best.
I mean, they haven't even had a winning season
time. Remember, that team in 2007, they thought they were one piece away, right? And then it quickly disintegrated, right? They thought that Derek Harvey was going to be the piece, right, the next year.
You drafted a guy to play football, and he's obviously a kung fu master. I mean, they just
messed it up. No question he's a kung fu master. He and David Carradine, I think, are ranked 1 and 2 currently. I don't even know what the heck I was going to say. You know, who cares? It's Victory Monday.
Victory Monday.
You know, that's one of those. I just hit the reset button like the Jags did.
It was 2007. You were talking about 2007.
I don't know. No, 99. We're talking about this with Fred Taylor yesterday. Fred Taylor said, look, we knew, 99 – couldn't last forever because you had a lot of guys, older guys, guys with big contracts, salary cap issues, all that coming up. Look at the job that this organization's done and keeping you financially viable. You're a player, man. You can go out there this year. You can go after another crop of free agents if you choose to.
If they wanted to pay the big market money for a quarterback, they can.
They can do anything they want. Finances will not hold this team back. And the fact you've got all these guys, you're starting to pick and choose which ones are deserving of their second contracts. You're starting to give those out. So you're getting more stability with Linder and Telvin and guys like that, centerpieces. Ramsey. If Ramsey wants to play hardball, you got two more years, you got a couple of franchise tags to throw, or you got the fifth-year option.
Fifth-year
then
option
you start with the franchise tag.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good for a while right here in Jacksonville, and that's a beautiful thing. Now, we've got Bruce and Pontevedra on the line. I mentioned earlier the thing that really got to me. You know, Bills Mafia, fine. You know, you want to be a rowdy fan base and have a reputation. Jags feel the same way, right? BCB, Teal Street Hooligans, they're going to travel. They're going to be rowdy. There's nothing wrong with that. That's part of the beauty of sports. But I told you, the thing that bothered me was that video clip of a couple of Jaguar fans minding their own business, walking past the Bills tailgaters, and these idiots come jump on their cooler, and, you know, it ensues from there. Bruce, I believe, was one of those guys carrying that cooler yesterday, and he joins us here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Yeah, I wasn't we always park in lot X and wasn't going to let a couple Buffalo fans run us off.
Sure.
That guy wants to break his back jumping on my bulletproof cooler. He's welcome to do it all day.
what was the reaction? Because it seemed like, at least from the ones I could see on the phone video that was taken of this, that Bills fans at the time were like, aha, you know, they're all for it. It just seemed to me like a classless thing to do. And how did you and your buddy maintain your composure like you seem to have done?
I just laughed it off. It was kind of funny to watch the guy sprawled on the ground after he rolled off the cooler. I mean, we're surrounded by, most of the Bills fans are fine, but there's certainly their fair share of knuckleheads in the crowd. I just kind of laughed at it. It was kind of funny.
Did your beer survive the incident is what we need to know.
Oh, 100%. The adult beverages were perfectly fine in their little bed of ice. The cooler didn't even open up when he hit it.
Right. Well, and that's why when people ask you, Bruce, why would you get a bulletproof cooler? There's your answer
there.
Now you never know when some drunken idiot is going to jump on it and try to jostle your beverages. So kudos to you for planning ahead and being a member of the greatest fan base in the National Football League. Glad you survived with your tailgate goodies and got to celebrate a victory yesterday. So thanks for calling in this morning, Bruce.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. There he goes. Let's do that. Let's take a timeout here before I get any further behind. When we come back in a moment, Tony, we'll take a look at some of the responses. Game Ball Day was our question, brought to you by First Coast Roofing. Which three Jaguars are most deserving of game balls? Of course, it's a Viseo Victory Monday. Viseo launched in 2017 nationwide with healthy, all-natural products using an advanced delivery technology and cornering their share of the health market. You can even start your own Viseo business from home. That's the beauty of it. You can invest in yourself and the power of residual income and maybe change the way your financial outlook is going right now. Stop doing the same thing you've always done, living paycheck to paycheck. If that appeals to you, call 904-993-7491. Ask for Sandra. Get a no-obligation consultation on how you can start your own Viseo company today. That's 904-993-7491. Ask for Sandra about Viseo. A Viseo Victory Monday. Nothing sweeter. when it's playoff time. It's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony here with you at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at EverBank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
When you know you're playing against somebody like Pittsburgh, do you and Jalen say, okay, you know what, I got AB, you deal with him, let's go do this?
They know both of us want them, so sometimes they try to figure out a way just to maybe where we go.
Hold on, you can't just slide by that. Say that again. They know both of us want him. See, that's some game right there, man.
Hey, that's the dog in us, man. I mean, the best always want to go up against the, you know, who, the so-called best in the league. AB, he definitely is one of the best in the league.
He is.
So hey, why wouldn't we want that challenge?
Tell Chad Johnson we're going to get him a ticket, too.
That's yesterday after the game, Deion Sanders hosting A.J. Boye and Jalen Ramsey.
Chad Johnson, for those who don't know, doing some training with Antonio.
Right. And Antonio probably abusing him. But regardless, Chad Johnson also wants to play receiver for the Jaguars. I guess this is a big revenge tour, getting Antonio ready for the matchup, Tony.
I really hope, like I hope beyond all hope, that the Pittsburgh Steelers game plan for Sunday is to challenge Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye. I hope that's the game plan Pittsburgh wants to come in.
They did it last time. I mean, Brown put up some numbers.
He did.
But it took him 19 attempts in his direction. And
I mean, Ben, if you take out the picks, he had some yards in that game.
Sure.
They all meant nothing.
Right.
They lost 39 because he threw five picks because they were trying to challenge that secondary. Do it again. I hope they're like, we're going to show them that that wasn't really us. All right. I feel pretty good about who the Jaguars secondary is at this point. You want to challenge what I think may be the two best corners in the league right now, and that's your plan? Bring it on, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, at least right. We knew Buffalo was not going to play to the Jaguars' defense's strength yesterday, and didn't matter. The Jags pretty strong all the way around. They are otherworldly on that back line. This is a quote, let's say a couple quotes, one from Mike DiRocco, one from Mike Kay, from Yannick Ngakoue. For those who missed it, and we haven't even broached it this morning because it's insignificant in the big picture. It's disappointing if it's true, and I have no reason to doubt Yannick based on the history of Richie Incognito. Claimed he said used some racial slurs, said he didn't use the N-word, at least that he could recall, but did use other racial slurs. This morning, a quote from D-Rock, because they're in the locker room right now, Ngakoue said he knows what he said, speaking of Incognito. I don't need to repeat it. Then this from Mike Kay on Twitter, again quoting Yannick Ngakoue, I've been playing this game for 11 or 12 years, and I've never heard anything like that on the exchange with Incognito. He said the comment involved ethnicity, but he would not elaborate. So, you know, think what you will. I no reason to think – I've never heard Yannick accuse another guy of doing this.
Nope.
So I don't think he would just make this up. And if anyone you were going to believe would do this, it's a guy with documented – history of using racial slurs like Richie Incognito. I mean, so just, you know, maybe certain elements of their fan base take after in terms of bad behavior, certain elements of the football team. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not saying that the fans were behaving in the same manner. They do their bad behavior in a different way than Richie Incognito. But, you know, if that's the case, it's disappointing, but it makes it that much more satisfying when you are able to beat somebody like that, which is exactly what the Jags were able to do. Let's get a few in quickly here, Tony, then we'll get some response to the First Coast Roofing question of the day, asking which three are most deserving of your game balls. We'll go to Bill on the south side up next on Jaguars Today. Happy Victory Monday, Bill.
Yeah, thank you very much. Listen, I'd like
what's
to
going
talk
on?
About Bortles. I'd like to talk about Bortles a little bit, but you know what? I know it's wishful thinking right now, but I would love to get in the Super Bowl with New England. So Tom Coughlin, who's going to be in Belichick's head, so Tom Coughlin can beat him a third time. Anyway, listen, Blake Bortles, I wish people would get off his back because, look, when Mark Grinnell came here, he had spent 2 years under Brett Favre up there, and he was developed as a quarterback to be ready and go in case something happened. And listen, Garoppolo, he spent years up under Tom Brady. That's why he's so good. Who did Blake Bortles have? Nobody. All his development has happened in the game. He's put in the game, and people need to get off his back. I think we should keep him for next year, give him his money, because nobody's going to work harder in the offseason than Blake Bortles, except maybe Paul Posluszny. Okay?
All right. Hey, Bill, we appreciate it. I mean, you guys backing his guy, and that's fine. I mean, look, it could be, even though it wouldn't be on the field, it could be a Coughlin-Belichick redo of sorts in the AFC Championship game, potentially, sure, in another couple weeks. But, look, I'll say that there are plenty of quarterbacks coming to the league that don't have the benefit of sitting behind a Hall of Famer for a couple years and excel right out of the gates, right?
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, look, it is what it is. We'll evaluate Blake's season in full when the season's over with. We're not done yet. Let's see. I mean, yesterday we saw the good and bad of Blake. We saw the bad in as his passing can go, like he doesn't look like he belongs to be a quarterback in the National Football League, to the good where he's a gamer and he's a tough guy and he made some plays that Chad Henne certainly couldn't have made yesterday, and
yeah,
you might not win the game because of without him.
It's not a video game. I mean, evaluating football players, it's not a video game where you know the most direct path to have the most success, like developing a character, right? You can look that kind of stuff up. These are people. They develop different ways. There's no one way to do it right. There are a lot of guys that have gone a lot of different paths that have found success. There are a lot of teams that have won Super Bowls. Not everyone does it the same way. There are different paths to winning in this league. There are different paths to being successful. I don't know if Blake's path is ultimately going to lead to great success or not. I don't know. We're still watching him walk along it, and we'll see what it winds up being in 2017. I ain't worried about what happens after that right now.
By the way, to pick up on your analogy, Bill's hit points all at zero. They're all zeroed out at this point. Jags are back up to full
health.
They
got to reset the game.
Right. So
and take another run at it next year.
We'll say, right. They reset, and the Jags move on. Let's go to Jim in Ponte Vedra next up. Jim, happy victory Monday to you.
Same to you guys. One thing real quick before I get to my couple points. It was nice that the first phone call after on the post game was not, why are you so giddy? We only won 10-3. But
right? If anyone was going to complain yesterday, you're absolutely right about that, Jim. They would not have lasted long.
I have been in that stadium for every game since day one. And I got to tell you, it brought back memories, but it gave me chills when that, from the standpoint of when the team came down, because I hadn't seen it like that so long. It's been crazy. But it was really, really good, and I really enjoyed that. But the other thing, and you touched on it a little bit, but if the NFL wants to know what the problem is with their product, to tell me that those four officials, or six, whatever, all the referees, were the highest graded referees and officials in the league for the year, I'm sorry. That's part of the problem. Because after watching that Tennessee-Kansas City game the other night, and then the game, the end of the Panthers-New Orleans game, I'm sorry. I mean, these guys, if they were the highest graded, there's the problem. Because they were, that was terrible.
Well, you're right. If they were the highest graded, what does that say for the rest of them? We'll just be glad we didn't get Jeff. Is it Triplett or Triplett?
I don't know.
Whatever.
He's
we didn't
gone.
Get his crew.
He's allegedly retired.
Right. He's had enough of the accurate abuse describing how horrible he is. If that is a forward progress call, Tony, no quarterback can ever lose a fumble again.
Yeah, I've never seen a strip sack if that's forward progress.
Exactly. I mean, just anyway. So fortunately, we didn't have those issues yesterday. I didn't think. I thought it was
good.
Yeah, in that standpoint.
Didn't even notice him. It was good.
Good for Jim. Season ticket holder from day one. Got goosebumps. It's a rebirth, Tony. This year's like a rebirth, man. I mean, it's been a few years in the making, right? You've been laying the groundwork. But now you're like, not only do we have, this is going to go beyond the 2005 to 2007. You know, they get in 2005, they miss in six, and then go in seven and win a game and show up impressively against the undefeated Patriots. This is something that can resemble the run of the 90s of a block of years where you can go in each year thinking, you know what? We got a chance to go all the way, and it's not a pipe dream. It's reasonable. This is a rebirth and a new high point. Once again, one of the, you know, the collective high points it had been. I'm not saying it's better than it was. They've got to do that. They still got to fulfill that. But this is what it's setting up to be in the next few years. And this story is not done, as you're correct in saying. Let's go to Pittsburgh and find out. Let's see how this thing plays out.
Let's see what happens.
Let's see what we got today. What we get in terms of game balls given out.
Here we go. From Irish Jaguar, Jalen Ramsey, Calais Campbell, and noted running back, Blake Bortles, hashtag DTWD. From BCB Germany, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, and Blake's lower body half. From Brian, any reply that doesn't include Blake is wrong. So BB5, DD, several catches, spot return duty, and a pass breakup. He did have the pass breakup, and King Jalen for him. From UCF Jag, Blake Bortles, because his legs kept us in it when his arm wasn't working. Jalen for forcing the Bills to move back to the 11-yard line, as well as his game-clenching interception, and Calais for the ankle tackle on Tyrod to prevent a touchdown on that same drive. From B Reigns, we got Blake Bortles' legs, Calais Campbell, and Jalen Ramsey with an honorable mention for Lambeau. From IMBWF, we got he had to revise his list, but his second list was Koyak, Blake Bortles, and Calais Campbell. How could I leave out the guy who made the shoestring tackle at Tyrod? Now the honorable mention, he goes with Miles and Jalen Ramsey. From Jarrell Blake, King Ramsey and Marcel Darius stunting on his ex-team. From Brian, Jalen, Telvin, and Campbell. Honorable mention to Darius and Blake's legs. From Daniel, Nortman, Lambeau, and Blake Bortles. And from Mike, Calais for the ankle tap tackle at the goal line. Telvin for running sideline to sideline with McCoy and Taylor. And Blake, Tebow Bortles for scrambling and power running.
I'll just give you three quick moments that I just wanted to highlight, and I know we've talked about some of these players. Koyak caught five balls all year. You're calling him in the most important pass play of the season, and he delivers. Right?
I saw him, Brent Martineau tweet out this morning, too. He was rewatching the game, and after that play, Blake coming to the sideline looked at Nate Hackett and said, first down. And apparently all week they had said that was going to be the first down play if they got the goal line. They didn't call it till fourth down with maybe the game on the line. And they made it work.
Yeah, he made it. So good job by Koyak. Blake delivered a good ball, but Koyak made the toe tapper at the back of the end zone. Fournette for jumping on the backwards pass, which in real time I thought was a forward pass. And sometimes you get fooled. And he didn't act like, oh, it's just incomplete. He knew that could be a live ball. And Tyler Patman coming off, basically call up the bench to break up a big, what would have been a first down completion late in this football game as Aaron Colvin was in and out of the game a little bit dealing with the flu. I thought, you know, for when your number doesn't get called very often and you're expected to go in and play and perform in a playoff game, I thought that was a big play for him as well. He doesn't get a lot of kudos. Let's welcome in the boys of the Midday Chalk.
Now, the 2-Minute Drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Get a free cup of queso when you download the Moe's Rockin' Reward app. Order ahead, earn discounts, and get rewarded for every purchase.
All right, Joe C. on the horn. Hello, Joe Cowart. How does Victory Monday in the playoffs feel to you?
It's great. It doesn't matter what the score was. There were big plays. The way it ended with the Ramsey pick. Really just an incredible atmosphere. Survive in advance, man. That's what you do. And who knows what can happen when they head up to Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. They've done it once. They're trying to match their own history. But yesterday was pretty special for a lot of fans.
Right. It was a special day for the fans, and I thought the fans made it special as well. What an atmosphere, and that's the way it was really in down the stretch of the season, Joe. We've said it for a long time. If you win, if you give them a product to get behind, yeah, you'll have that full-throated support like it used to be. We know it's a football-mad area, and finally the talent and the W's and the fans, are everything's coming together at the right point in time.
Yeah, and from a national attention perspective, they get it by winning. That's how the mayor gets on the NFL Network last week and all the other discussion points about the Jags and are they the team defensively that would cause the most concern for all the other playoff teams. So, heck yeah, man, it was great. There's some things that they're probably going to be eyeing this practice week to make sure that they get it right. But all things considered, you saw a football team, when they needed to deliver, they came up with a big fourth down play, which was a score, and it led to the win.
All right, what's coming up today in the Midday Chalk?
Definitely talking Jags. We'll have Tommy Bohannon coming up here at the top of the hour. And then as much time as we spend on that, we'll spend a lot of time on the national championship game tonight and all SEC final up in the Benz in Atlanta, as at Alabama and Georgia go toe-to-toe.
We'll be listening, Joe. Thank you, buddy.
All right, man.
There he goes. Thanks to Vaseo, our primary sponsor on Mondays. Vaseo Victory Monday in the books, playoff style. Let's do it again next week, shall we? All our great sponsors. For John Osier, for Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt, and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. As we sign off, let's treat you to the locker room speech post-game from head coach Doug Marrone, who, by the way, if you missed it earlier, does own the Bills Mafia. Again, Doug Marrone, here he is.
It was a very good job of making sure that, you know, everyone, we were in here at halftime, things weren't going the way we thought the game was going to go. All right, and you guys had good poise. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you guys stayed together, what we talked about a family, about doing things the right way. That's the stuff that nobody sees outside of just me with the players, okay? So that's a great job there. All right, playoff football's tough. You know what I'm saying? And the team we played, they did a hell of a job now. They played hard. At the end of the day, we played our asses off too. All right, and we won this game. You know, and it was a home game. And this is the only thing, I don't normally do this, but I just want to say one thing. You know, the organization has gone through a lot. You know what I'm saying? Guys that have been through here have gone through a lot. But the people that have gone through it the most have been the fans. Yeah. We haven't had a home victory since 1999. So I want to make sure that this game ball goes to City Hall for the fans of Jacksonville. Yeah. Remember one thing. What you guys did today, you earned the right to play another 65 plays with nothing guaranteed. Let's get ourselves going. All right, you guys know the schedule tomorrow. See you guys tomorrow.
Great game, great win. Now let's go get another one, huh? Let's go get another one. Let's go win on three. One, two, three.
This is Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field.